this month. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Of course, again, each year we meet on New Year's Eve. This year will be different. There is a message I heard recently from another man, and I want you to hear that message. It is a life-altering message. So we'll meet here on Friday at 7. And then after the service, we're not going to do a fellowship this year. We are going to have just a time of prayer, just trying to get a hold of the Lord and asking Him to do some special things. When we met for prayer this last month in our men's prayer meeting, and by the way, for the men, we will not meet this Saturday since it's New Year's Day, but the following Saturday at 9. One of the things I ask is the Lord to give us a certain amount of people get saved this year. I have nobody to blame but myself. I mean, there should be people being saved on a regular basis here. And it is something that God has convicted me about. And one of the things we need to be doing is praying, asking God to save people, and then doing everything we can to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So after we see the special message, we'll take a season of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for the evening. So trust that you'll be here this Friday at 7 o'clock. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the message this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here in this place again. Thank you, Lord, that you are wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that came to change our lives. Lord, to give us new life. We praise you for it. Should there be anybody here this morning that does not know you as their own Lord and Savior, that before they leave this place, that they would finish this year in the very best way that anyone could ever finish it, and that is by receiving the gift of Jesus Christ, his salvation. Father, for those of us who know you as our Savior, I pray, God, that you would help us to realize how good you are to us. Even in the midst of heartaches, even in the midst of trials, you are good. That's who you are. That's your character. And Lord, we ask that you take the message and use it to work in all of our hearts, including mine. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 once again. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus Christ is the God of new beginnings. And I'm grateful for that. And that is what is really related to you and me here in Revelation 21. It is a chapter dealing with new beginnings. God's going to take this messed up, sin-cursed world one day, and he will make it new. I am ready. I'm ready for that, and I'm sure you are too. I don't know if you've thought about this, but for Christians, for believers, our lives are about new beginnings. And I just want to give you a few here this morning. Number one, we have a new birth. We have a new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is speaking to a very good man. He was not like the other Pharisees. He was a good man. And this is proven through some of the introductions to Nicodemus. He helped bury the Lord Jesus, anoint his body. He stood up for the Lord a few times amongst his brethren who plotted his death. He was a good man. And of course, we know he was a very religious man. And he comes to Christ at night, and he has several questions, theological questions, that this very learned man wants to have understanding, because he sensed in Jesus something far different from other men. And he began to present his theological questions to the Lord Jesus, and it's as though Jesus just put his hand up and said, Nicodemus, stop. Let me cut right to the chase. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He cut right to the chase. You know what? You could be here this morning and you could be a very good Baptist. I remember growing up in my home church, you were rewarded every year a certain pin that you wore on your shirt or on the lapel of your coat, indicating that you had perfect attendance for the year. And I would see people, you know, with just pin after pin after pin. They all hooked together. And so some people's, you know, lapel had this big long chain on it, almost like someone in the military had won, you know, valor medals or something. And it showed perfect attendance. Mrs. Isley, you'll remember that. Your husband was administrator up there. You remember those pins? People would wear those things. You know what? That's good. There should never be a day you miss God's house. I'm in favor of that. But being a good Baptist and being in church every Lord's Day or every Wednesday night or every missions conference or revival meeting doesn't make you Christian, does it? You know, I've had people say to me, well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And I don't know if they were being genuine with me or not, but the reality is we know this. And if you break the law in one point, James said, you're guilty of it all. So you can break the commandment of coveting, and he said, you're still guilty in God's sight of murder, adultery, and so forth. He said, that's just the reality. In other words, when you break a commandment, it's as though every commandment is broken. You're placed under the curse. You're under condemnation. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're good at religious man. You keep my law. You know Moses' law well. You have kept the commandments of your life. But Nicodemus, ye must, not your local prostitute down the road, not the whores, not the, you know, the tax collectors, you, Nicodemus, you religious man, must be born again. When Nicodemus heard those words, it made him pause and think. Now, I think we're sometimes like Nicodemus. Maybe you can look back at your past and say, you know what, Pastor, that's true. And what I mean is this, we try to paint the old dilapidated building. We try to make the outside look good. The Bible says that your body is a house. When you get saved, you become a temple. With this house, a lot of people are trying to give it a good, fresh layer of paint on the outside, make it look good on the outside, and somehow they think that makes them okay with God. But you can slap a good coat of paint on an old, dilapidated building, and it won't make the old, dilapidated building good on the inside, will it? If the plumbing's messed up and the electrical wiring is all a mess, putting a coat of paint on the outside won't change it. And no one can change their life by just becoming good on the outside. Going to church, keeping the commandments, being good to people, helping the poor. That won't do it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Making something that is corrupted inwardly look better on the outward side doesn't remove the corruption. No, you have to be, listen, born again. Now that word means exactly what it says. You have to have a second birth. You are born, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you've had a physical birth. Now, brother, you need a spiritual birth. But the word again also carries with it the meaning of this, anew. Nicodemus, you must be born anew. Do you remember the day you were born brand new? A new life. Do you remember that day? For me, it was over 45 years ago, up in Ohio. What about you? Do you remember the day where you called upon Jesus Christ to give you a new birth? I'm glad for a new birth this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath, now listen to this, began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Every moment of every day, Jesus, who began the work of salvation in you, continues, in a sense, that renewing of that spiritual birth. You know what the word perform means? Well, it means perform. God gives us words that we can understand, but I think you ought to do this. I think you ought to take and examine words for the richness and the depth and the fullness of words. The word perform, as it's used there in Philippians 1:6, carries this meaning, to fulfill completely, to accomplish it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, accomplish it, Fulfill it completely. Now, who does the fulfilling? Who does the completing of that good work that began at the new birth? Who does that? You tell me. Some of you are saying it. Jesus Christ does. That's who the He is. Jesus Christ that began the good work. You didn't begin it. No more than the day I was born back April 20th of 1959. Yeah, I know. That was a long time ago. But when that day came, I had no effort in giving birth. It was the effort and the work of my mother. And I was given birth. I was given the gift of physical life. And then October 31st, 1976, I was given the gift of eternal life. No effort of my own. All the effort of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philippians 1:6 is a tremendous verse telling us why salvation cannot be lost. You did nothing to save yourself. You do nothing to keep yourself saved. It's all a work of Him. Every single day. We have a new birth. That's something that every Christian, every true Christian, can rejoice in. Secondly, we have new mercies. We have new mercies. Not only a new birth, but new mercies every day. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. You can turn there if you'd like. Lamentations, the third chapter, beginning in verse 21, says this: "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not." Now listen, "they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." Brother, I have hope today. I have hope about a lot of things. I have that blessed hope, looking forward to the Lord's coming. But I have the hope of this every day, that His mercies are renewed to me. I don't know why, but this has been a focal point that the Holy Spirit has driven home to me as I spend time alone in prayer every day, almost every day. I find myself going back to Lamentations 3, and I'll pray this back to God: "Lord, it's because of Your mercies that I'm not consumed. Because Your compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And when I'm in my house, you know, the sun rises here in the east, and I just think about the sun coming up. The fact that there's Your mercy. You've given me another day to live. Good night. If you're here and lost this morning, you're here because of God's mercy. If God took His hand of mercy off this earth would be destroyed. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not, what? Consumed. That's what would happen under the great judge of the universe. The judge of all the earth, as Abraham declared Him, who always does right. If He did what was right, if He did what was just for you and me, we would be consumed because of our sin. Nevertheless, His mercy is abundant. And those mercies are new every single day. And for a believer like you and for myself, we have extended to us new mercies in the form of forgiveness. You say, "I thought I was forgiven when I got saved." Well, you were. You were forgiven the condemnation of your sin. You're no longer under the penalty or the curse of sin. That is declared to us in John chapter 3. That's declared to us in Romans chapter 8 and other places. But you know and I know that, and Jesus taught this in John 13, when He knelt down to wash the disciples' feet, He comes to Peter and says, "No, sir, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord." And of course, Jesus said, "Well, if I wash you not, you have no part with me." And John, not John, Peter said, "Peter, again, if I wash you not, you have no part with me." Then he said, "Lord, then wash my head and my hands. In a sense, just wash me all over." And remember the words of Jesus: "He that is washed need not save to wash his feet." Peter, you've already been washed all over. But you know what? As you walk the course of this life, every single day as we walk our course, whatever your course may be, you become defiled. Not your whole body, but in a sense, spiritually, your feet. And He said, every day there's a need for cleansing. You know what? There's probably not a day that goes through in which we do not need forgiveness. Not to be saved again, but to maintain fellowship. And there's those new mercies where we can go and do exactly what John declared in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we believers confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise written to believers. And he goes on to say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's not a person here, including your pastor, that can say we don't sin. We all sin. You may have got frustrated yesterday after, you know, trying to get that dinner perfect and something burnt and something didn't quite go right. You get frustrated. I see some of you kind of smiling and laughing about this because it happens, doesn't it? We get frustrated. We say things we didn't mean to say. It's still sin. Listen, it's still sin not to do what we're supposed to do. To him that knoweth to do good, listen to me. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?
Sin.
Say it louder.
Sin.
It's sin. So when you walked into that department store and you had a couple Christmas tracts with you and that lady behind the counter finished, you know, checking your stuff and handed it back to you and the Holy Spirit said, hand her one of those tracts. Wish her a Merry Christmas and ask her to read it. But there were people behind you and it was kind of embarrassing, so you didn't do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, it's amazing what God's standard of sin is and what my standard of sin. They're completely different.
Amen.
Completely different. Whatsoever is not of faith is what?
Sin.
Say it louder.
Sin.
That wasn't very good. What was it?
Sin.
So if you do something doubting, you have sinned against the holy God. And the Bible teaches us in James chapter 2 that you break one point of the law. You're guilty of it all. Now, praise the Lord, that guilt, that condemnation was settled at Calvary. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Jesus became the curse so we could be freed from the curse. He bore all of our sin in his body on the tree. It was paid for completely. We're no longer condemned. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that justified. I'm a justified man. I'm right in God's sight. But you know what? Sometimes, because of the filth of this world, as I walk along, my fellowship with my relationship never changes, but my fellowship with my Savior can change. Just like, listen, if you were born into your, I'll just use Cassie down here, you know, you were born the daughter of Tom and Daisy Marsh, that'll never change. But you know what? Your fellowship can change with them. And a lot of it's dependent upon your obedience. A lot of it's dependent on whether you're willing to humble yourself and go to your mom and dad and say, hey, I said the wrong thing, or I did the wrong thing, or I didn't obey this, or I knew I should have done this and I did not do it. Listen, that'll sometimes hinder fellowship, won't it? The same is true for all of us in our walk with Christ. Well, aren't you glad that the mercies of God are new every morning and that you can go to him and be forgiven when you mess up?
Yeah.
That God's not standing there in heaven and keeping account. Look at all these sins he's done in the last month. Look at all these sins he did in 2021. I'm going to get even with him. That's not the way he responds, is it? His mercies are new every morning. And every time you go to the throne and confess, he forgives. 1 John 2, verse 1. Just a few statements later after what we just read there in 1 John 1, 9. He says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word advocate, you've heard the term judge, advocate, general. You know, it's a term for basically a lawyer. Jesus is called our mediator. He brings a holy God and sinful man like me together. But he also acts as my advocate, my lawyer, that when Satan accuses me, and we're told this plainly in the book of Revelation, that Satan accuses the brethren. That means you and me. He accuses us. And what does Jesus do? He intercedes for us. He's my great high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for me. He's my advocate. When I go before the Father and confess, he says, Father, I gave my life for him. I shed my blood for him. I shed my blood for her. And he acts as that advocate for us. I'm grateful for new mercies. I'm grateful for new mercies. There's a third thing I think about when I think about the God of new beginnings. It's this. We have a new purpose. We have a new purpose. Interesting verse in Romans chapter 7, the 6th verse. You're welcome to turn there and look at this with me if you like. Romans chapter 7 and the 6th verse. The Apostle Paul said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, Now notice this phrase, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Here's another benefit of being a born-again Christian, of being a child of God. So what Paul said applies here. In other words, when he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, that applies here. You say, I was not a very good witness in the year 2021. God gave me opportunities, and out of fear or out of just a lack of concern, I failed to give the gospel on different occasions. Or, you know what, I taught a Sunday school class, but I really did not give my best effort. I really didn't prepare like I should have. When I stood in the pulpit to preach a message, I really wasn't prepared like I should have been just because I wanted to be lazy that week kind of attitude. Listen, I'm grateful that God does this wonderful thing. He forgets those things that are in the past, and we reach forth into those things which are before. Past failures and even past victories, we look forward. It's something new. But he said, we serve in the newness of spirit. There's a new purpose. So you know what? I don't know, as you look at your life and look back at this year of 2021, as you look back, I don't know what you would surmise the year by. Was it a productive year, you know, to your family? Was it a productive year in the workplace? Was it a productive year with your Savior? Or are we using the pandemic as an excuse not to do what we ought to do? That is a great fear in my heart. If I had to go back and do it all over again, start back in March 2020, I don't know that I would have done anything differently. But I wonder sometimes that even if I have used the pandemic as an excuse not to be aggressive for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be sacrificial for the Lord Jesus Christ, and use it as an excuse in many different areas. But you know what? If that's true, and it may not be with you, but if it is true with someone here, you know what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, to something new, a new day, a new beginning. You can reach forth because you serve, what? In newness of spirit. The God who gave you, in a sense, a new or born-again spirit has you serve in that newness of service, in that newness of purpose every single day. Past failures are obliterated by new mercies. We're to serve Christ in the newness of spirit. Are you planning on serving Him this year? I hope you are. I hope you are planning on being sacrificial with your time, sacrificial with your witness, sacrificial to your family, sacrificial in every possible way to be all that He wants you to be. And one more thing I want you to see this morning. We have a new future. We have a new future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and I bet a lot of you could quote this. In fact, I'm going to say this, and if you know it, you say it right along with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things become new. Old things are passed away. Now we know that the moment you get saved, in God's eyes, that becomes true. We understand, I think our spirit understands that, and I think theologically we understand that. Listen, there's a lot to be said for believing something theologically. In other words, to have your theological ducks in the right row, you need to believe in salvation by grace through the blood atonement. You need to believe in the virgin birth. You need to believe in the security of the believer. You need to believe in Jesus Christ being God. Those are theological truths that you cannot, you know, there was for a while, I don't think it's so much true now, there was a time where churches were emphasizing, well, no, I should say, de-emphasizing doctrine. Fatal mistake for many churches and fatal mistake for many people. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. I think you ought to have the right theology. But you know what? There's something about knowing a truth here and knowing a truth here. We know the theology that the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and so shall we also be with the Lord. We know that truth. Looking forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that truth, don't we? But to know it here is far different from knowing it here. And when it becomes real to you, you look forward to those moments when everything does become new. We started in Revelation 21. I want you to go back to Revelation 21. And I want you to look beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 1. This is John, and this vision that he saw after the great tribulation has ended. The battle even of it wasn't even a battle there in Jerusalem after the 1,000-year reign. After that ends, and death is the last enemy defeated, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Notice what happens. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know what? I don't fully understand that. It may be that, you know, pre-flood, there was certainly water on the face of the earth, but there is some evidence that the continents shifted through that cataclysmic event. Now, there's some that might argue against that, but there's something there, and I don't fully understand it. There may be a lot of spiritual meaning to that as well. Verse 2. Okay, I got theological there for a minute. Sorry, come back to verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, what a great verse, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, now listen to this, for these words are faithful and true. You serve the God of truth. You have a book of truth. This is going to happen. This is our future, folks. There's coming a day. Will there be no more funeral services, no more cemeteries? Sorry, John, you're going to be, at least part of your work is going to be eliminated. You know what? I'm looking forward to that day. And the more I learn about my Savior, it has nothing to do with age, just the more I learn about my Savior, the more I look forward to this. I hope you do too. God is the God of new beginnings. Every day you get up, it's a new day. We're about to cross over the threshold into 2022. We've never been this way before. Saturday or Friday morning at the pastor's prayer meeting, I said to the men, you know, we were taking prayer requests. I said, you know what? Maybe for the first time in a long time, I do not look forward to going into 2022. I just don't, because of all the things that have happened in 2021 and 2020. I really don't look forward to that. But then I said, you know, and God had been dealing with me about speaking this, I said, but you know, he's the God of new beginnings. And he's giving us a brand new year, a new beginning. And hopefully we'll all use it to glorify his name, to do some things that maybe we have never done before in years past. And to realize, yeah, there may be, I'm not even going to start saying things about what's going on in this world and our nation. I don't even go there. But just this, no matter what 2022 brings, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. We're victors in Jesus Christ. And we have everything to look forward to in 2022 and beyond. He's a good God. He's the God of new beginnings. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just again, I know most of you have you're members here, you attend here. I don't know that there's anyone that is here that has not been here in the past. But be sure you have the new birth. Being a good religious person, being a churchgoer won't do it. Being baptized won't do it. Keeping the commandments won't do it. You must be born again. I had a chance the other day. I was at a doctor, and he questioned me about some things, and he asked me, why aren't you doing this? And I said, I have a religious conviction. He said, well, what are you? I said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. Being born again, born anew. Are you born anew? Maybe you're here as a Christian, and you look back over the last weeks or months or even year and say, you know what, I've not been all that I should be. I know that. You know what? He's a God of new mercies. And he certainly forgives. He's the God of the new purpose. And maybe we've allowed some things to happen in our life using the pandemic as an excuse not to serve. You know what? A new day, a new purpose. And praise the Lord for all of us who are saved, a new future. That we don't have to live in depression and discouragement because the best is yet to come. And maybe this morning you just need to get some things right with the Lord. Well, you know what? Don't be afraid of this altar. This altar is your friend. And you make sure that you make things right with the Lord if you need to. If you're not saved, you get saved. Whatever the need may be. We'll all stand with our heads bowed and have a word of prayer. And then we're going to have a verse of invitation. And as we stand, let's pray. And then you do what God wants you to do.